This nice, bright, sunny, little bit of a chill morning, but it's good. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're so thankful that we can worship here in person and that we can have persons joining us via live stream and that can listen later on. And so we're so thankful that we can worship in multiple venues this morning. I know that children all over the United States are going to be happy tonight. They're going to have fun tonight. And children of all ages and those that are a little older, we're going to pray for safety for all of them and that everybody can have some fun. We had some fun here last night, had a good group last night, and they had a good time. And so it was a real good opportunity to be together and to have some fun. I had Carol play this last song, For All the Saints, for one reason. Tomorrow is All Saints Day. And that's a very important day in the life of the church. And it is a time in which we remember the saints, the people of faith, throughout the history of the church. And we also remember current believers and their struggles and their witness. And we also remember those that have gone on to be with the Lord in glory. And so that song, For All the Saints, I remember hearing it first time when I was in seminary. And it was written by Ralph Vaughan Williams, a very important composer. But a very, very strong song. But I wanted to read just a couple of words from this song. It's very powerful. If you want to look along, it's hymn number 595. For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Thou wast their rock, their fortress, and their might, their Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. Thou in the darkness drear their one true light. O may thy soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold. And when the strife is fierce and the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. From the earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, through gates of peril, streams in the countless hope, singing to the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Alleluia, Alleluia. For all the saints, for all the believers. Amen. Today we will pick up with the church at Sardis, and we will look at a pronouncement that was quite harsh that was given to that church, but one that is quite timely. Now, before doing the children's story this morning, I got to catch Jesse Matthews while he is here before he goes to work with the children, but on today is his birthday, so we want to sing happy birthday to Jesse Matthews. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesse. Happy birthday to you. All righty. Yeah, there we go. That's right. Birthdays are always important. Okay, I'm going to ask our children if they will come down to the front here and find a spot. All right. Yeah. By the way, if you didn't know, they had a little race last night, so I think they're still in the racing mode. All right, guys. You got your spot? All right. Got your spot? All right. There you are. Evelyn, you got your spot? Yeah, you got a couple spots you can get. All right. Now, I got something in my bag. Okay, you got it? Thank you. Oh, yeah, I need to sit on mine, too. You're exactly right. I got to do that. Yellow, that's my color. That's an inside joke. I had a little suit that they were asking me to wear this morning, but I was kind of didn't think I might better do it. Yeah, I might get taken somewhere if I wore it. But I got something in this bag, so let's pull this out. Yeah, got a picture. Yeah, got that too. But what do we got here? Oh, we got some flowers, some tulips. We got some bulbs here. Now, what do you think we need to do with these?
Plant them.
That's right. Now, y'all, anybody here knows how to raise tulips or grow tulips? Give me a hand, because I'm going to try to plant these things, but I've never done this before. And Jesse and they're going to have some helpers, but I have no idea what I'm doing. And so any of you got any insight, we will appreciate it. But we got some red tulips. We're going to plant them. Now, Jesse, I need a little bit of help. How about going behind that pulpit? There's something over there I need you to get. Just go right behind there. Yeah, look right behind there. Do you see anything? Yeah, bring it here. Oh, I got, two helpers. Yeah, I got a water can. That's right. So I guess we could plant these, and then we could water it, put a little fertilizer on there, and say a few prayers, and then hopefully what will happen? They'll grow, and there'll be some red tulips, and that will be a nice thing. Now I want to show you something else. So if you plant something, it can grow. Now, here's something that we've done here at church. What do I have here?
A card.
So let me read something. Let me read what's on it. It says, Berea Baptist Church. Where is that?
Here.
That's right here. That's exactly right. And then it has the web address, and it says, Join us for worship Sundays at 11. So this is an invitation to ask people to come and what? Worship with us. Because why do we want to worship together? We've given these to persons, and so hopefully they start giving those out and more people can come. That's exactly right, to learn about God. And so that that's kind of like planting a seed, right? And then watering it, and then it grows. Because we're all here to learn about God. That's exactly right. So here's what I want you to do. What we want to remember is that we love who? God. Okay, guys. Yeah, we love God. We love each other. And we love our neighbors. And that's what we want to remember. So now here's something I want you to think about today. Here's you a picture. It's a plant with a flower that has a smile and some sunshades. And here we got. And y'all take this. Because hopefully we're going to water that flower. We're going to grow us some tulips. But also when we come to church, we're also growing in the Lord too. So here we go. And so I'll give an extra, since I got some extra things here and here. Oh, and you got an extra one too. So I will give those extra ones out. So we're going to all grow in Jesus. Can I have, yeah, you got an extra one? All right, so let's stand up. And we're going to try to get into a line, and we're going to see if we can walk to the door. Yeah, make it a tulip. That'll be nice. Oh, well, good. That will be very, very good. And if anybody needs a smiling face, I got two extra. This morning we have a slew of birthdays. Jesse Matthews, of course, has a birthday today. Also, Stephen Mitchell, Marlowe has a birthday today. So, Stephen Marlowe, we wish him a happy birthday today. On Wednesday, Phil Mumford has a birthday. And so he's kind of out in the ocean this morning doing some fishing. And so we're glad that he has the opportunity. He and his dad are out on the waters, and so we pray for safety and that they can do some catching of some fish and enjoy the fish. Also on Thursday, Wyatt Friddle has a birthday. And then on Saturday, Bailey Small has a birthday. And so we wish them all a happy birthday. Also notice the boxes for the Samaritan's purse shoe boxes. They're growing each Sunday, and we'll continue to gather them through November 21st. And so please be putting your boxes together, and we are looking forward to having a little celebration on the 21st for that. Also, there will be no deacons meeting this week, but next Wednesday. And so just wanted to make sure everybody noted that. And then next Sunday, we're going to have a special service. It will be a deacon ordination service. And so Phil will be preaching a sermon, but we'll also have the Lord's Supper and an ordination service as well. And we'll have a children's story centering around ordination. And Sandra, you and Christina don't know this yet, but you know it now. But I'm going to bring y'all up as part of the children's story so that you can be introduced to the children as their deacons too. So I just thought I'd let you know in public so you can't get out of it. this will be a very important service, and gives us the opportunity to do the laying on of hands and a memorable and important experience. And so we're really looking forward to that. Also ask that prayer warriors be praying for revival for revival of spirit and strength for Berea Baptist Church as we move forward and trying to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. In terms of prayer concerns, I also want to share this card that I received from Amy this morning. This is to the church. On behalf of my family and myself, I want to take this opportunity to thank each of you and everyone for your kind gestures when my mom was sick, and we remember that quite well. And we do miss her presence, and we do miss those hugs, I can tell you that for sure. I also, at this time of year, miss the calendar as well. I still have them, and they were great. But for the kind gestures when my mom was sick, words cannot express how much we appreciate everything this church did for my family at our time of need. Thank you for visiting, calling, and for the food that was delivered so that we had one less thing to worry about. I know if Mom were here, she would give each and every one of you a hug to thank you. And she would. She would. Because Mom loved to give hugs, once again, thank you for all you did for us, the Rigsby family. And we continue to remember you because we know that there is always that gap that is there. But do know, we'd all remember those hugs. And when there are days that are not going well, just remember, we remember her. And she was a very giving person. And we are so thankful that she was a part of our lives as well. Wanda, glad that you are still here. David, glad you're still here too. And we are very pleased that the recovery is going well. Linda, glad that you're up and about, and you got some independence this morning. So I know you're happy with that. So we're thankful. Good to see all y'all here. Got some good news. Greg Rigsby got some good report on some things to test for him, so we're pleased to hear that. It's always good to do that. Pray for Christina. She's on a job interview this week, so we hope that you can, that the Lord will see fit to see it, to seal the deal on that. And so it's a good opportunity, and we hope indeed that if it's the Lord's will, that that indeed will take place. We also want to continue to remember Linda Register, who will have surgery on November 10th. Continue to remember Aubrey Vickers as he continues with his daily struggles and issues that he faces with his health. Also continue to remember Ann Williams and her the pain that she is incurring. Continue to remember Ray Insko as he battles cancer, and Peggy Berenger. Remember all of these persons in our prayers. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, today we pray specifically that tonight will be a safe night for all our children, youth, and young people throughout our church, throughout our community, and throughout the world that are celebrating tonight. Keep them safe. Keep them out of harm's way. Dear Lord, we also continue to pray for the missionaries that were in Haiti. We continue to pray for them. And we also continue to pray for persons that are in Afghanistan that are trying to get out. Keep them safe, dear Lord. Keep them under your protective hand. Dear Lord, we pray for our children's ministries and our music ministry here at Berea. These are two strong programs that we have. Show favor upon us and help us to instill in these children the love of God and the love of Christ, and that we have the opportunity, each one of us, to pour into their lives and to make an impression that can be a lasting impression. And through our music, dear Lord, may we proclaim the gospel boldly. Because music transforms the spirit, both in the singing of it and in the hearing of it. It is a double blessing. Dear Lord, we also ask that you be with us as we fight our daily battles and our daily struggles, our ups and our downs, our joys and our heartaches. Help us to always remember that we have your armor, the armor of God. And that we carry it with us, and that you are with us, and we are not alone in the struggles that we face. Dear Lord, we pray that you will heal and strengthen each person that has been mentioned today. May they know and experience firsthand your grace, your mercy, and your favor. For we are your children, and you never promised us that we would not suffer. You never promised us that we would not face heartaches. You never promised us that we would not face challenges. But what you did promise us is that you would be with us, and that you would walk with us, and that you will see us through it, and that we can take on your yoke. So, dear Lord, we lift each person up to you this morning. And we place them on your altar of grace and mercy. And we ask for healing of body, mind, and spirit. And we ask for the understanding that only you can give. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation song. That's a very powerful song. And it's one in the last 10 years or so that has meant so much to so many people. Very powerful song. Reminds us of the essence of the book of Revelation. And today we're speaking specifically about the church at Sardis, the dead church. This letter to the church at Sardis, which is in the third chapter of Revelation, is the most serious one of all the seven. It's serious because there's a congregation that is thinking they are doing well, but they're failing. They're dead. And that comes from Christ himself. That is the assessment. However, although that statement is harsh, it is also one of the most hopeful of the letters and one of the brightest, because it talks of a remnant that is there. And remnants are important because that is where the light comes. That is where the new birth comes. That is where the revival comes. So to kind of help, with that message, I want to give a little background. And we'll go back to the book of Jeremiah again. We were in Jeremiah the last time. But I asked you again, if you would, to please turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. Now, these are some very familiar verses. Many of you know these verses, or at least one of these verses, in here by heart. And some of you may even have pictures on your wall that are based on this verse. It's a very powerful verse. But I want to give you a little bit of a background to it. And so the statement is this, and the essence of this passage is this: the Lord never forgets his people. The Lord never forgets his people. We may experience pain, we may experience hardships, but he has plans. The Lord has plans for our deliverance and for our joy. So, follow with me as I read Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. For this is what the Lord says: when 70 years of Babylon are complete, I will attend to you and will confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this place. For I know the plans I have for you. That's the verse you know. For I know the plans I have for you, for the Lord's declaration: plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. This is the Lord's declaration. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you. Hear this again. I will restore your fortunes. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you. This is the Lord's declaration. I will restore you to the place from which I deported you. You see, the Jewish people were in exile. They had been taken from Jerusalem and surrounding communities to Babylon. They had disobeyed God. They had worshiped Baal, or Baal as you will often see it. And they had sacrificed their children, and that is human sacrifice. They sacrificed their children on the altar of Moloch. But they were promised that after 70 years of captivity, they would return. They were promised well-being from this traumatic experience. And that was traumatic, to be deported and to be taken to a foreign place. They were to be given a future. Excuse me, it wasn't fatalistic. A hope. God would hear their prayers. God will, if they will seek out God, they will find Him. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Ask, seek, find in the Sermon on the Mount. If they will seek the Lord, they will find the Lord. If we will seek the Lord, we will find it. Jeremiah prophesied about it. God spoke about it. And Jesus confirmed it in the Sermon on the Mount. Their futures would be restored. Well, we know that God can do that because we see that in the book of Job. Look at the very last chapter. Everything that Job had lost, the Lord restored and then some. And then I think about this. On May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. Israel was recognized as a nation. And people from all over the world descended upon what? Israel. To be a part of that nation. God's word is true and is trustworthy. And then I think on December 6, 2017, something that persons thought would never happen, happened. Jerusalem was once again recognized as the capital of Israel. The Lord keeps His promises. The Lord keeps His promises. Spurgeon also reminds us of some very important sayings. And this is going to be very important as we move and transition from the promises that we see here in Jeremiah to the assessment that we see in Sardis. 1 Timothy 1:15. And I can thank Charles Spurgeon for this reference. Trustworthy sayings of Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:15. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul says, of whom I am the worst. Our mission is to proclaim the gospel to who? Everyone. Not just believers, but to those who are lost. And I know it's not popular today about talking about people being lost, but they are. Do we have a burden for the lost as a church, as a community, as a group of believers? That is something that the Lord has placed on our plates. And then in 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12, this saying is trustworthy. For if we died with Him, we will also live with Him. That's Christ Jesus. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. Now, if we endure, that implies that sometimes we have struggles, don't we? It's the endurance part. And if we deny Him, He will also deny us. So here's the second point. Churches do die. I know this firsthand. Churches do die. I've shared part of this story today, but one of the first churches that I worked in, my first job in the church, formal job for which I got paid for, was custodian. I was working on my doctoral degree at Emory at the time, and I was the custodian for Emory Baptist Church. I got to clean out grease pits, mop the floors, all that stuff. Clean up after weddings. I got to see all of that. Got to mow the grass, which I didn't do often enough, and I got told about it. I found out how nice people can be and how curt they can be. But I'm glad I had that experience. It was an important experience to have. I also became later the youth director, and I was also ordained by that church. There was a beautiful pipe organ in that church, which was built by one of the former members. Beautiful pipe organ. Carol played it. Beautiful organ. Beautiful sound. And it was a nice pipe organ. The church had gone through several splits and had a history of that. And so, just a couple of years after I were ordained, there was not enough members left to keep it going. So the church was sold, and it became a performing arts center for Emory University. That's true. It's a true story. Now, some more good news. Pun. The life of churches are often described as following. Centered around a person. Then it becomes a movement and gathers steam. Then it becomes a machine. And then it becomes a monument. Ooh, that last point's kind of scary, isn't it? We have been here since the 1850s. We are not a monument. We're a living body. We are a remnant. And that's the message that needs to be heard today. We're not a monument on Fayetteville Road. We've been here a long time, and a lot of people know we're here. On People of Central, I talk, oh yeah, nice little church over there on the way. They know, people know we're here. We're not just a monument. We're a living, believing body of believers. And we are very much alive. Very much. Now, are we facing our own struggles and our own challenges? Yes, we are. We are. But we are still alive. That's important. Did you know that from 2006 to 2020, so this would be the pre-COVID statistics, so you know the COVID statistics are going to be even worse. Membership among Baptists declined 2.3 million. Membership is falling. Annual baptisms, now this number gets at a COVID number, is down to 123,160 persons for all 40-plus thousand churches. The lowest point in over 100 years. Actually, since the influenza outbreak of 1918-1919. Complete circle. Attendance is down. Giving is down. And churches aren't reporting. Now, what I'm trying to get at is this. It's in times like the times we are facing right now that we stand up and we proclaim boldly who we are and what we're about. Because the fields are ripe for harvest, and we need to do what? Pull the water on it. And allow God to cultivate. But we need to put some water on it and need to go out. So that brings me to the church at Sardis. Jesus' message to the church at Sardis can be summarized in three words. Jesus pronounces them dead. So he starts off with that at the very beginning. He says, you have a long history. Well, it was really a short history. But you have a history. You think you're doing well, but you're dead. And then he says three things. Remember, repent, and obey. Remember, repent, and obey. You see, Sardis was a rich church. It had gold deposits in the rivers that were nearby. They minted gold and silver coins in Sardis. It was up on a hill, and about 1,500 feet below that, there was the intersection of five different trade routes. So it was a commercial center as well. They had worship of many different religious groups. Kybele was one of the goddesses that was worshipped. It was a goddess of nature. It was a fertility cult, where you had the kind of the birth and the resurrection of the growing seasons. You had that theme going about. Excavations show that there was a gymnasium there. There was also a synagogue. And this was the point that really caught my attention. In the excavations, they have unearthed a Roman road. Roman roads were distinct. And the reason that's so interesting is it's very probable that Paul himself walked that road. Because Sardis would have been an outgrowth of the church at Ephesus about 40 years earlier. So here you had a church that grew up fast and then failed. In a span of 30 to 40 years. Now, Sardis had also an interesting history. They had been overconfident in their strength. They were up on a hill 1,500 feet, and you had to scale that hill to get to them. So they didn't think they had to guard it. Well, they were surprised twice, once by Cyrus, and then another time by Antiochus. They brought in armies and they captured the city. They didn't guard it. The city was also leveled by an earthquake in AD 17. And Tiberius rebuilt it. And that's where you got also a temple to Tiberius and the worship of the emperor there. And then you had Paul, who sets up this church, which lasts for a little while. But the message that Jesus gives to this church is very, very important. And here's what we want to hear. So if you would, turn to Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Write to the angel of the church in Sardis, thus says the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. That's the image of Jesus. It's in chapter 1 of Revelation. I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Be alert. Now, that alert would have meant something, because remember those two surprise attacks I mentioned to you? Be alert and strengthen what remains, which is about to die. For I have not found your works complete before my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. This would have been from Paul. Remember what you have received and what you have heard. Keep it and repent. If you are not alert, I will come like a thief, and you have no idea at what hour I will come upon you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothes, and they will walk with me in white because they are worthy. In the same way, the one who conquers will be dressed in white clothes, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who hears, has ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, wake up. Wake up from your spiritual lethargy. Seek revival. We cannot just read and hear the word. We must be involved in ministry, evangelism, and discipleship. That was the message to Sardis. That is also the message to Berea. Talking with one of my colleagues just this week. She is a member of another church, very active in her church and in her community. And they were talking about the need for evangelism, the need to talk and to share and to spread. And the concern was the resistance to share and to tell. The resistance to share and to tell. But yet we are given this great commission. Go you therefore. Strengthen what remains and remember what you've heard and obey it. You see, there's one big disconnect that we know in the field of social psychology. I'm going to use this illustration here because it's important. We can hear things. We can believe it. But it doesn't mean we will what? Practice it. It doesn't mean we'll put it into action. There is no real statistical correlation between beliefs and practices. It's weak. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying in this message. Linked together, linked in, linked together the beliefs and the practices. Link them together. Repent, because I will come as a thief in the night. Does that expression sound familiar? It should. Matthew 24:42. Therefore be alert, since you do not know what day your Lord is coming. Do not know when the thief, we don't know when the thief is coming. But we know that the coming will be a surprise, just as the return of the Son of Man. You see, people aren't looking for Jesus to return anymore. They're not looking for it. And many don't believe it. But the Bible promises us time and time again that Jesus will return. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. That's a promise. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, on the day that the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. See, Revelation, the book of Revelation, isn't the only place where we hear about these things. It's throughout the Old Testament and it's throughout the New Testament. But there's good news. The good news is that the believers will receive their unblemished garments that are washed white. How? By the blood of the Lamb. That, by the way, comes from Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. Our garments are made white, unblemished, through the blood of the Lamb. So we are overcomers. Our names are in the book of life. So, where are we? Where are we today? Where are we as a church? And so in our closing moments, listen carefully to this assessment. Charles Swindoll gives several marks of a dead church. As I give you these characteristics, I want you to hear something loud and clear. This is not Berea. This is not Berea. First, the church worships the past and does not consider the future. Now, we are aware of our past. But our mission and ministry is far from being what? Over or complete. We have a future. We have a rich past. But that's not what we worship. We look forward to where we will go and what we will, who we will reach in the future. A dead church is inflexible and resistant to change. We're embracing doing things differently while still being true to our what? Faith and our mission and our ministry. So we are not inflexible. We are not resistant. We raise questions, which we should. Lazy, worldly leadership. No. We want to be grounded in the gospel. We want to proclaim, and we will proclaim, the gospel. Whoever is speaking here, it is the gospel that is to be heard. Number four, I'm going to say hallelujah on this one. Neglects children and youth. We're not dead. We are not dead. They are Berea. And if you don't believe it, they'll give you a little yellow thing to sit on. And then finally, too inward focused. Here's one thing I know. We're a church that believes in missions, local and globally. We would not be doing the shoeboxes if we didn't believe it. We wouldn't do local things. But we can always do more. Always. Now, at Berea, let's be honest. We've looked at death in the face. We really have. And we have some concerns. We have some financial concerns. We have some issues of age. But you know what? I don't think the Lord cares how old we are. And I can speak personally. I'm finding out that the older I get, the Lord is giving me more things to do. So I figure he's not finished yet. And we might get tired. And we might get discouraged. And we might want to give up. But that's not who we are. You You see, we're a church that understands the need for recommitment, revival, and revitalization. And it won't happen overnight, but it will happen with a change in each one of our hearts. And as we work together, it will happen. When we get discouraged, continue to remember these children. They love this church. They love being around everybody. And they had a great time last night. And we have the opportunity to pour into their lives and to be a very strong, positive influence. We are committed to prayer. We have a group of people that are praying as prayer warriors. And we will still continue to work more and more with that and get even more specific. Deacons are praying, and I know church members are praying, and I know the prayer list is prayed over, and I know that there is a lot of communication back and forth. Prayer matters. We're committed to children's ministry, to music, and to inviting people. May we never tire of inviting persons to come worship with us and to be a part of who we are. Not everybody we invite is going to take us up on it. I see a guy real often coming in when I'm pulling in the morning, walking his dog. But we're waving now. We're communicating. I'm not giving up either. We can improve our facilities. We can be attractive. And we can commit our lives to prayer and Bible study. And so, here's what I feel led to say. We're not a dead church. We have some concerns, but we're not a dead church. I'd like to say we're a Nehemiah church. Why would I say that? Because with Nehemiah, when they came back, they rebuilt what? The walls. We're in the process of rebuilding the ministry and the mission and the outreach. And guess what? Everybody take a good look. There are a couple of young people in here, but the rest of us either have no hair or gray hair. And that is what the Lord is asking us to do. And if the Lord asks us to do it, the Lord will provide a way for us to do it if we are obedient to Him and if we listen to Him. May we ask, what would the Lord ask each one of us to do? What does He have in store for each one of us? And let's close with these words, the words of Jesus. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. May we listen, and not just listen, but obey and put it into action. And all God's people said, Amen. hymn could not be more true. Faith is that victory that does indeed overcome the world. And as we leave today, and as we enter our mission fields, may we know that Christ, through Christ, we are victorious. We have good news to share. We have people to minister to and to help. May we do it in the name of Christ.